We're having a little look at the bit on the Sermon on the Mount that's often thought about, where Jesus talks about storing up treasures in heaven. And I wonder, what are the things that we treasure today? What are the things that we most like, the things that are most important to us, the things that maybe we have, maybe we got something for Christmas and we decided that we just loved it, the things that we really love, the things that we really like, the things that are most important to us. Jesus talks about treasure, and he says you've got a choice about the things that you will treasure. He says you can store up treasures in heaven or treasure on earth. And he talks about treasure on earth, and when he talks about treasure on earth, he's really talking about, well, money in lots of ways. Money, or really anything that we can buy with money. The kind of stuff that we might have, those kind of things. He's saying that you've got a choice. You can build up those kind of things. You can have more and more things, more and more money, more and more stuff, more and more the things that you want or the things that you love. And he's not saying that those things are bad. He's not saying it's bad to have stuff, to have possessions, to have money. He's not saying that those things are wrong, because actually there's plenty of people in the world who've got lots of stuff and do lots of good with it. They might share the things that they've got and be generous and kind to other people with it. Or some of the richest people in the world are some of the people who do some of the most good with their money in the world and have set out to try and make a difference and to change some things in the world with it. But what Jesus is saying is that we shouldn't just go around trying to selfishly store up more and more money or things or possessions for ourselves. He's talking about loving those things. And perhaps a way of thinking about it, or trying to think about for ourselves where we are in that and how much maybe we're focused on things and stuff that we might have, is trying to think a little bit about how important those things are to us. I wonder sometimes if there's things that we decide we need to have to think, to kind of be who we are. That if I don't wear clothes with that particular brand on them, or that particular fashion or that particular statement, then I'm somehow, if I don't have that, I'm less of who I should be, who I want to be, that they are part of my identity and who I am. Or if you were to take away something from me, if you were to take away the car that I drive or the house that I live in or the bank balance that I enjoy, then somehow I'd be less of who I am, because who I am is someone who's got money or who drives a nice car or who lives in a big house or has a fancy phone. And somehow if those things were taken away, then I wouldn't be me anymore. I'd feel less of myself. And maybe we want to ask ourselves some of those questions sometimes about how important things are to us. And Jesus says if we store up these kind of treasures on earth, we're at danger, we're at risk. It's a dangerous thing. There's the danger of destruction, that the things that we have can depreciate or deteriorate or be destroyed. I was pleased with that. There was a lot of D's there. Thank you. That actually the things that we've got, the things on earth, can be risky, can't they? I was chatting to someone this week who was off on their way to go and pick up a lovely Jaguar, and he showed me some photos of this car, and it looked amazing. This was a really high-spec, wonderful car. It had a bit in the back where you could keep the champagne bottle chilled, and you opened up the table, this is not a joke, you opened up the table in the middle, and there was the champagne flutes hidden underneath, and it had iPads and TVs in the headrests. I don't know why you needed iPads and TVs in the headrests, but there were both of them, and it was beautiful and wonderful. And this was an amazing car. And because I'm human, my thought, of course, was, oh, I think I'd like to have one of those. Does that happen to anybody else? Yeah? Someone gets something and you think, I'd like that too? Yeah? And then I thought about it for a little bit longer, and I thought, you know what, though? If I drove a car like that as my car, how worried would I be about that all the time? I'd never go to Tesco, because I'd be like, I can't park it in the car park, because what if someone scratches it or bashes their door against it? Or, you know, I can't park it on the road anywhere. I've got to think about going somewhere where there's a big I can only go to places with big empty car parks where I can park carefully, spaciously from everybody else. But then I can't leave it in a big empty car park because it's too expensive. I'd never go anywhere. I'd just drive from places and then drive home again. And it's exactly the kind of thing that Jesus is saying. You can have all this wonderful stuff, but actually you might start to worry about it. That you might be dangerous. It might be dangerous. A few years ago, my wife bought me a really nice Easter egg for Easter. surprisingly. Got it early and put it away in a cupboard in our kitchen, hid it away. And when it came to Easter Sunday, she came out and brought this egg out and said, look, I got you this lovely Easter egg. And when we looked at it a bit more carefully, we found that something else had already been and enjoyed that Easter egg. And we don't keep food in that cupboard anymore. And it's exactly what Jesus says, vermin. He's talking about mice and things. That actually, sometimes things that we might really want, we might really like, even the mice might come and eat it. And it still happens today with some of the things that we might really like nice chocolate and stuff like that. You know, mice can even come and eat it today. The things that we really like sometimes aren't safe. Or even money itself. Even money. We might keep money, think, oh, if I've got cash, if I've got money, if I've got £10 notes and £20 notes, that'll be safe. But if we keep it all at home, of course, someone might break into your house and they might steal it. So we keep our money in banks. And of course, banks are completely safe, aren't they? Nothing ever goes wrong with banks at all. Oh, but we know it's protected by whatever it is. You get the letters every year about the FSCS or something saying, you know, it's all right. If the bank falls down, we'll look after your money. It's okay. But then, even then, it doesn't feel safe, does it? Because I only read the other day about some people who got scammed out of their money. Someone phoned them up and said, oh, we need to look after your money, so transfer it into this account. And it turned out it was fraud. And someone stole all of their savings, all of their money that they needed, that they wanted, that they were going to use for things. And it turns out, even in the bank, it wasn't safe, that there was some danger there. Jesus is saying that we can store up these things on earth, but they're at danger, even when sometimes we think that they're safe. So Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. And John talked about this last week, about storing up treasure in heaven. It can be one of those things, it's quite hard to think about, well, what do we mean when we say treasure in heaven? Well, I think an easy way to think about it is think about anything that's going to last forever. And I don't mean plastic bottles, because they do last for nearly forever. But I mean anything that's going to last for eternity. Anything that would still be there with God in heaven. And so it's things like becoming to be more like Jesus and getting to know him better. Because if when I meet Jesus in heaven, I'm going to know him perfectly and I'm going to be like him, then actually the more I get to grips with that now, the more actually it's like I'm getting ready for heaven. And that's something that's going to last forever. The more that we become like Jesus, those are things that can last forever. And the more we learn to do the kind of things that Jesus would want us to do the kind of things that Jesus did. And actually, the more that we introduce other people and help other people know more about Jesus, those are things that will last forever, because the more the people around us get to know Jesus and know him some more, the more actually those things will last forever. So we might be involved in helping people do that. We might go and we might talk to other people about Jesus, about church, about the things that we know. We might do that directly ourselves, or we might do it indirectly. We might do that by praying for other people who go and do that. Or we might do it by helping and supporting other people who go and tell others about Jesus. This church here isn't supported by any other organisation. It's supported by people here who give money to the life of the church and who support the things that we do as we try and tell people about Jesus through the things that we do and the words that we say. It's supported by lots of people in this church who generously give towards the work of it. And as a church, we give money away to organisations in the UK and around the world who go and try and do the things that Jesus would want us to do. Who tell others about him through the things that we do and the things that we say. It's an indirect way by using the money and the resources that we've got for things that will last forever. Jesus says you've got an option about where you're going to store up your treasures, on earth or in heaven. And the good thing about things in heaven is it's not at risk. It will last forever. It's safe and it can't be taken away. So in some ways the choice is obvious. But the thing is sometimes if we're honest, we love the things more that are on earth than the things in heaven. And the challenge for us is to think about what we really love. And when I talk about love, I don't mean something that we've got no control over. I mean making a choice as to what we're going to make most important in our lives. Jesus talks about two treasures. He also talks about two visions, and in a little bit that's quite difficult to understand. He talks about people seeing clearly and not being able to see very well, and it's a little bit tricky. So I want to do a little illustration of it, and I need a couple of volunteers who are going to be voluntold, probably. Josh, you've got your hand up. Fantastic, because I wanted you, and I want your dad too, who's looking nervous. So can we have Matt and Josh up to the front, please? Because Jesus talks about someone who can see clearly and someone who can't see very well. So if Josh, you just come here, that'd be great. just going to stay up this high for a second because it'll be useful. Can you take your glasses off? Because I know you pretty much can't see anyway when we've done that. But we'll just ensure it's fully done. So here we go. Excellent. No, can't see. Right, good. You come over this way a little bit. That's it. Lovely. A little bit more. Okay, hang on. Turn around. Okay, great. Now, all I want you guys to do is I want you just to walk to the back, touch the doors to the foyer, and then get back to me at the front. And I'd like you to do that as fast as you can. Are you ready? On your marks. Got it, Josh. If you go down that way, you go down that. You go down that way. On your marks. That's it. Go. Carry on, Matt, just because it's funny. Don't help him, Josh. Oh, Josh! That's strangely lovely, but not the illustration I was going for at all. I'm sure I can make it work, though. All right, Josh, you can take him back to his seat, and he can unblindfold himself. Thank you. Okay, so we get the point, don't we, really easily, that, you know, if you can see, you can work out where you're going. You can see where you're going. If you can't see, you can't see where it is that you're going. You're not going to be able to find your way. And that's kind of what Jesus was saying about these two visions. He's saying that there's some people, they can see clearly, they know where they're going. And he's talking about, in spiritual terms, that for some people, they can know God and they can see him. And they know where they're going. They've got a purpose and direction. They know where it is they should be going. They've got a hope for the future. Jesus is talking about heaven and saying we've got a hope for what God is going to do and what he wants us to be doing now. And he's saying some people can see that and they've got direction and they know what's important and they know where they're going. He's saying for other people, it's like they can't see. If they don't know God and they don't have that hope for the future, then they can't see where they're going. They can't work it out. They're going to be a bit more confused. Maybe life isn't going to seem like it's got the same significance and the same purpose. And you might be a bit like Matt, kind of groping around. They're not really quite sure exactly where to be going and getting a bit lost and a bit confused. And Jesus is saying we've got those two things. That if we've got a hope for what God is about and who he is and what he's going to do, then actually we've got something clear for the future. And actually it's not just something that God's going to do in the future. He's saying actually it benefits us now that we can see where we're going. We can know what to do and we can know what's most important. Jesus talks about having two visions, those who can see and those who can't. And he goes on, finally, to talk about having two masters, some really famous words that Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. No one can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. You can either serve God or money. You can either possess money or you can let money possess you, someone clever once said. You can either possess money or you can let money possess you. And actually, that could be anything else you can let possess you. Anything that you might put your trust in or your faith in, you can allow those things to control you. But of course, most of us, our attitude to this might be a little bit more kind of diversifying, would be the word we would use. Say, well, actually, I want to hedge my bets. I'm going to trust in a few different things. You know, we'll have a bit of money, we'll have some investments somewhere else, and we'll trust in God too, because we might end up needing him also. So we'll kind of try and diversify and have a few different things. And when Jesus says, well, you can't do it, you can only have one or the other, we go, well, I seem to be doing all right, kind of splitting it around. But it's easy for us to miss what Jesus is really saying, because Jesus was talking at a time when they had slaves and masters. And if you were someone's slave, then you did everything that they said. You had to be loyal and obedient to that master. It's a bit like having a mum and dad. Because I'm sure we all do everything that our parents tell us. Why are my children not nodding? But it's like that, but all the more. That if you were a slave to a master, you had to do everything. It would be a completely silly idea that you could have two masters. A slave could have two masters. It would never work, because to be a slave, you had to do everything that master said. You had to be completely obedient to them. So when Jesus is saying this, he's putting it in that kind of understanding, saying, actually, if you're going to follow God, if you're going to put your trust in him, it means to completely put your life in his hands, to place your faith and your trust only in him. To not split it between different things and try and share it around. He's saying you can't share God with loyalty to anything else. So Jesus, with a few little pictures, kind of challenges our attitude to the things that we've got and the things in this world. So actually, what is it we love more? Do we love having stuff here and now? Or actually, do we want to store up treasure in heaven? To think about what we're hoping for. Do we have a hope in God and for the things that he's doing and he's going to do? Or are we blind to the things of God? So actually, where are we placing our faith and our trust? Is it in money and stuff and things? Or is it in God alone? And Christine's going to help us as we carry on and we go through the service to think a little bit more practically about what it means to store up treasure in heaven and maybe where there's things that we might change in our choices, in our decisions, in our lives. Thanks, Christine.